listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Take your Bibles, would you please? We're going to turn to the scriptures right now, and I want to share with you on a very important topic, and that is something that I've been poring over literally now for at least 4 weeks. I want to talk to you about your dream job. Your dream job. Take a moment and let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 75 and verses 6 and 7. Here's what the psalmist says, not from the east or from the west, and not from the wilderness comes lifting up. He says, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. I happen to find this to be a very insightful passage of scripture. So let me ask you, how do you feel about your job, the place where you work, your career, the things you invest in between Sundays? We could also ask you the question, what do you feel and how do you feel about what you're doing or what you're asked to do in your church family? Do you love it? Do you hate it? What's your job like for you? Do you wish you could quit doing what you're doing? Maybe at your job you're even terrified of being fired. I want you to listen to me today. It doesn't really matter if you like your job or not, because the things happening there are shaping you into the person that God wants you to be. And we're going to talk about that this morning and make some sense in that realm. Sometimes we need another lap around the mountain for us to get that message. Hopefully, we can be quick learners and save ourselves a lot of tread wear. You see, our culture has tried to convince us that chasing our dreams is what this life is all about. And with that, I'm not saying you should not be proactive with respect to your careers or that which you find as your employment. But the work we do, the opportunities that we pursue, sometimes we think they should be fulfilling this burning passion that we carry around inside of us. And we think they should exhilarate us in such a way that we just pop out of bed in the mornings or whenever. That is to be thrilled to spend one more day experiencing the constant satisfaction of doing what we love and love what we're doing. Am I talking to the right people? Yet does the Bible paint that picture for us? You see, we are Christians, followers of Jesus, disciples of His, kingdom people, and we don't take our cues from the culture. We take our directives from God's Word. Can I hear an amen on that one? Amen. Have you noticed that Most of the people we meet in the Bible, though, didn't square with that experience. I want you to think about Moses this morning, for example. And he was a fairly important guy, wasn't he? In Scripture. To the Israelites, he was huge and still is in their culture. But do you think leading 3 million people was a dream job? Maybe being Pharaoh and sitting in a throne room or in a place or a position where you call shots and people respond readily. But that's a whole lot different, church, than leading 3 million Israelites in a desert day by day for 40 years. Do you think there were parts of his duties that he didn't particularly like? I'm sure there were. Or that he might have wanted a little more time off, a little break from the job so he could spend some time with his family, at least walk away from the scene for a few days. Moses spent most of his days listening to people groaning and complaining rather than feeling any love and appreciation from them. But you see, Moses had a calling. And I want to say something to you this morning, church. You have a calling. You may have a job, but I want you to understand you have a calling. Moses was determined to stay faithful to that calling and remain in the harness, even if it didn't come with those Pharaoh-like dreams, a life that he had put behind him. I want you to know, church, the one virtue the Scripture says qualifies us is faithfulness. It isn't how many people actually won to the Lord or even delivered. It's about staying faithful to what God's asked us to do. Ask yourself, what are you looking forward to as a commendation? Is it what Jesus would say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let me describe our lives briefly. Number one, we are a follower of Jesus. First and foremost, out of the gate. Secondly, he has assigned you to a task. And it's important for us to find out what that task is and link with him. And I'd like to suggest that it's closely related to the idea that you are a minister of the gospel. How do we get that? And where do we get that? Well, Ephesians chapter 4 says that Jesus gave to the church 5 ministry gifts for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. You were called to extend the kingdom of God in a way that only you can extend the kingdom in your realm or in your jurisdiction. Your job description today is to embrace what may be an obscure unpleasant, menial task, and furthermore, to treat it as God's preparation for something that is way more important than any old work position. Jesus said it this way, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This tells me, not everyone is owned what turns their crank and lights their fancy. This tells me that our lives in Christ are hard work. And our jobs are not always thrilling. Scripture says of our time on the planet, this is no place of rest. You say, does the Bible really say that? Look up Micah chapter 2 and verse number 10. It also says in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11 that we are sojourners and exiles. Let me break it to you, church. We're not in heaven yet. There's a lot more that needs to get done, and Jesus is on the move. He's doing something. He's up to something in this present hour, and he wants us to yoke with him. And so our everyday lives simply will not delight us at every turn. That's how it goes. Your job, what you're doing for work right now, your career, may seem to have you stuck in the middle of nowhere. It's a place you feel where no one is likely to discover you or find you or recognize you. Maybe where any movement up the ladder seems pretty unlikely, and where you simply don't see a lot of good things happening. But I want to remind you this morning, the Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east, it doesn't come from the west, nor from the south. It comes from God alone. That's what my Bible tells me. And he describes what brings him glory. He decides where you are best suited to serve him. And he positions us. He moves the pawn on the chessboard. It may be looking hopeless at this moment, but God is still at work to promote you and to place you in your sphere of influence for his name's sake. He is the one who puts down one and he exalts the other. So when you are in a potter's wheel situation, here's what I want you to remember. You know what we're talking about when we talk about the potter's wheel? Look up Jeremiah chapter 18 this afternoon. Read it. Discover what Jeremiah the prophet is saying. He is saying he is like clay on the potter's wheel, and the potter is shaping that clay into what he wants that clay to be. You and I are on the potter's wheel. And Jesus himself is shaping our lives. Here's the big deal, church. So many times we feel the pressure of the potter's wheel and we want off the potter's wheel. Don't circumvent the ways and purposes of God. It's God's purpose for you to be on the potter's wheel. So he can shape you, he can mold you into the design that he has for you. And I'm here to tell you, it would be a big mistake to jump off the potter's wheel in a season of rough going. Going to the mill, going to your office job, or even taking your church responsibility more seriously, doing your job. even when it's a job you don't love. It is a task worthy of respect and esteem because it's where God has you. And some dreams may not come calling today. But I want to remind you, your God will call. He will show up. And His calling is able to take you places that no dream could ever take you. It may be a temporary move on the chessboard of life for you right now, but God is moving players around so that you can represent Him in His timing and in your best moment. I want you to notice a few things this morning, and we're going to wrap up. God saved you not so that you can just get to heaven. Heaven's good. How many want to go there? How many don't want to go there? We'll have a talk after the service today. What's wrong with you? But I'm here to tell you, God saved you not just to go to heaven. He saved you to serve His purpose. That's what He saved you for. So that you can function for Him. And it's not always going to be easy going. Nobody said this would be easy sleddings. Number two, your function may not always be joyous. Read the Pauline epistles. You'll see the church going through hardship after hardship. How did they do it? Well, they kept their focus and their attention on Jesus, and they persevered through their hardships. Number three, God will always process you and your attitude in a crucible of hard knocks. Whether you know it or not, you've got some stuff that He needs to work out of you. You see, we've told ourselves that we're God's little darlings and that God owes us. How many know he's paying back right now? He's working through some things out in your life. Number four, your calling is a spiritual calling first and foremost. That is why you need constant spiritual input from trusted spiritual counselors in your life to help you stay the course. Because left to ourselves, we can wander off course very easily. And finally, I want you to be encouraged, because you need to strive to be faithful. Be faithful. Stay the course. Do what God's asked you to do. Do it with a joyful heart. If it's doing some menial task in the house, do it. If it's bucking up for the job tomorrow, buck up. It's going to be where God wants you so that you can be salt and light in that place for the kingdom's sake. You just don't know how it was that God had to move pieces so that you can be in perfect timing to hook up with somebody on Tuesday morning. It's in His economy so that you can rescue somebody. And if that meant a colossal change for you in the course of your journey so that you can be an instrument of righteousness for His name's sake, how many could say, so be it, so that God can get the glory and His kingdom could be advanced in that moment of time through you? And you need to do it with a joyous, cheerful heart. Because at the end of the day, if we stay the course of faithfulness, It's the only thing that counts. So you may be asking yourself a few questions today. Like, how have you reacted when the assignments or the job has been a struggle? What's been your reaction? Or why would your enemy want to make you believe that the purpose of your job is to follow earthly dreams when you're a kingdom man or a kingdom woman on assignment by God? See, God has given you skills and He's given you talents. He wants you to apply those in the pathway that He sets before you. And then you're to allow Him to see these develop so that you can be a more pure, righteous instrument for the kingdom's sake, to be used and perfected to extend His kingdom on the planet. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's up to something. My mentor for years was David Miner. Some of you met him, have known him personally. Mighty man of God, prophetically and apostolically. God gave him a word that went around the world. It was recognized by the current prophets of the day. And that word was simply this: God is going to do something amazing and powerful in the years to come. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So that which is not kingdom will fall by the wayside, and everything that is kingdom will advance. How many know Jesus is about advancing His kingdom and not my dreams? It's about His kingdom and His kingdom alone. Would you stand with me? I want to pray for you this morning. Maybe you've been disappointed and confused. Hopefully this morning you've been able to set some things straight. We've had a powerful season of worship. We've elevated the name of Jesus. We've had a short dissertation of what God is doing in the land today and around the world. We are living in amazing times, church. If you don't recognize that, hit yourself on the head and wake up, because God is literally doing some amazing things, and it's the hour to be engaged. So this morning I want to pray for you that you would not misunderstand the hardships of your life today, but that God is working you through a process so that your life will be a perfect demonstration of the kingdom of God to our hurting masses of people. Let me pray. Jesus, first of all, today we thank You for Your presence in this place. Secondly, Lord, we thank You that You're manifesting Your presence in some unusual ways all across and around this world. Lord, we are concluding that You're up to something. The timing of events, kingdom events, subject matters, is not by coincidence. Lord, you're stirring up this nation. And we want to be literally on board with you. So we're asking, Lord, that you would process us so that we would not send out a mixed message. So that we would represent you completely and thoroughly. And for this mass of people, Lord, whatever has been going on in our lives, we're praying today that we will have spiritual enlightenment to see that you are truly at work and you have our best interests. Blessing and favor in Jesus' name. I want to conclude with a story, if I can. 3 days before the Ashbury revival, as we know it today, broke out in Wilmer, Kentucky, there was an ungodly group that performed at the Grammys. Their song was entitled Unholy. You didn't know that? But their declaration was an affront to God. 3 days later, a stirring happens in Ashbury College. If you had occasion to look and watch and follow the camera, at the top of the sanctuary was a statement, holiness unto God. I'm here to tell you, church, you can't mock God. You can't play with God. The world can send a message of unholiness out there, but God can do that with an inscription over the altar that goes around the world. And God says, I'm a holy God, and I'm up to something on this planet. So I want you to understand something. Don't misunderstand what you're going through right now. You can trust God through your difficult circumstances and seasons in life. It may not seem right to you or even joyous to you, but bear in mind, God is at work, and you can trust Him. We have our prayer team that would like to pray with you. If you want some special prayer here this morning, you can get that. So I'm going to invite the prayer team to come, and if you would like to be prayed for this morning, this is your opportunity. Added prayer will be available at Healing Place on Saturday at noon, so if you don't get a chance to get prayed for here today and one extended prayer, the prayer team of Healing Place will be there to pray and be with you. God is good. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us here today. And as we walk from this room, we pray your presence will continue to overflow our lives into our cars, into our homes, throughout this week. And when we get into that job situation tomorrow, whatever it looks like, we're going to say, thank you, Jesus, for placing me here so that I can represent you and your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.